Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
I don't think I've ever been to this church when I've not felt the presence of God massively in worship. It just has such fantastic worship here. I just love it every time I come here. And I think that's... yes, you have good worship leaders, but it's not about that, actually. It's about you guys being open to the Holy Spirit. And I think that's what this church is. The church is open to the Holy Spirit. So quite often you're hearing contributions from different places in the congregation because there is an openness and love of the Holy Spirit and God in this church. That's fantastic. So the church planting course is, it's an internet-based course that takes place in somebody's home. So I don't know how Ben and Damien are going to do it, but basically we live cast over the internet in a conference style to a number of churches and church plants, so new churches like this one, or church plants, if you'd call it a church plant. And we have 10 sessions. It's once a month for 2 hours in one evening. So the course is quite a small course. And why would you do it now when you're sort of in this sort of stage of church planting? Because the things that we'll be talking about on the course are still applicable to you and still important to you. So if you want to come and actually understand, well, you know what? Sometimes Damien and Ben will make decisions and it's like, oh, that's really interesting. And that sounds quite exciting. But I wonder why their thinking was behind it. You get to hear that in terms of church planting and why we make those decisions the way we do and why we build church the way we do. And why we lead church the way we do. And it's free. So what you do is you end up going to somebody's house. There'll be a nominated person in this church, I would imagine. And it's projected either on the wall or on the TV. And you hear it there. And then you're able to sort of like speak over the laptop in to ask questions of the speakers in a live setting as well. So and that's the way it works. What we do is we have one person in those 2 hours. We have one person speaking for about 35, 40 minutes, and then we ask some questions, and then we go straight on to somebody who has planted, a couple that have planted a church. So it might be that we ask Damien and Nicola to appear on one session, or Ben and Jen to appear on one session, and they'll be talking about how they planted Blackpool Church. And what we ask them to do is all nitty-gritty. All the nitty-gritty, because actually church planting is very difficult, and sometimes things happen behind the scenes which you guys don't know about. And so what we do is we get people to tell their story, how it's affected them, how it's affected their families, and sometimes we've been some amazing situations and people sharing, and actually we learn as much about things like that than we do any other situation. So that's what we're doing on the church planting course. Right, let's go straight into the preach. Right, Father, we thank you that you are a God who sends his Spirit amongst us, and you send your Spirit inside of us. And we thank you for that. And Father, explain a bit more about that today from your scriptures and how we can see that in scriptures and what that really means to us. Okay, guys, so usually when we do a talk on the Holy Spirit in a values or a vision session, we'll talk about things like prophecy and tongues, because you're trying to explain to the church this is how it's done, this is how it's handled according to scripture and in this church. But I think there's a much more root important area which impacts you in a way which is phenomenally impacting for your whole lives, and that is how the Holy Spirit speaks inside you and how he is inside you. And that root part of it, which is connected to the Father heart of God, is unless that's right, then sometimes the prophecies and that is not, we're not free in that to be able to bring that sort of stuff, because actually we're not, our relationship with the Father is sometimes hindered because the way that we recognize the Spirit moving inside us isn't, we don't get to that stage. So I'm going to be talking about a lot about fathering and fatherhood, the fatherhood of God. And what I want to kick off to is Jesus. When he was with his disciples, right? For 3 years, he was with his disciples and he was teaching them things and he was showing them things and all those massive stories we see in the Bible. And he was like walking alongside his disciples on this journey through those 3 years, telling them things, showing them, "I'll heal this guy, tell this guy he's full of sin." All this sort of thing was going on in the Bible, and that sort of stuff was there. And then all of a sudden, and he's like living with them, we don't do it in this day and age, it's almost impossible to do, but he was living with them 24/7. He'd go to sleep with them half the time on a hill and half the time in a barn, and he'd wake up with them, and it would start in the morning. So he would have a whole life with them. And then all of a sudden, one day, he turns around to them and prophesies and says, I'm going away. And they're like, yeah, where? And they're like thinking, what, down the road? We'll come with you. Or into the next country? We'll come with you. Where are you going? And he's like, no, I'm going. I am going, and I won't be with you like this again, in this way. He's like, I'm going. And so they're all like, well, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? What's going to happen to us? How are we going to, you know, we've been with you. We've like invested all this time with you, and you're just like disappearing and leaving us. And we're like, just like, we're totally new in what you've been teaching us, and we've done bits, but you know, you keep telling us we're getting it wrong and correcting us and then straightening us out. And I'm not sure we're ready. And he's like, and they're like, he's like, no, you are. You are. And then he says to him this phrase. He says, I am going, but I am not going to leave you as orphans. I am coming back to you. So this is the scripture. Working? Nope, we're not working. So this is the scripture, if you can get the next one on. I don't think I'm close enough to it. So it's not working anyway. So can you do it for me every time? Is that right? Great. So This is John 14, 16 to 18. It says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will dwell with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he's actually making a statement. He's saying, He's relating it straight away to family. And he's saying, I am not going to leave you as children without a parent, without a father. And then what he says is, I'm going to send another one, and it's going to be the helper. But what he's actually talking about here is the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit is going to come when he dies. And he's going to be with you. And in that, he will be back with you. So I was here about a year ago, and I talked on the Holy Spirit then, and I used some phrases and some bits which I'm going to bring back in here because they help attach to the issue that I am the subjects which I'm talking about now. So one of those is about salvation and how the Holy Spirit comes inside us. So Jesus dies on the cross for us. That is payment for our sins. He takes the payment for our sins, and he takes the punishment that we should have received for those sins, and then our slates are wiped clean, and we receive forgiveness at that point when we become Christians, and we are forgiven evermore within the love of Christ Jesus. And as we approach the cross for the very first time when we become Christians, and you see Jesus there, and all of a sudden it hits you that Jesus is on there because of the things you've done wrong. And then you give your life to following him forever, and you come out the side a new creation, and you're a changed person. But when you are a new creation, how does that look? Because you don't actually change. So Skip might have looked minutes older when he gave his life to Christ, because he walks in, meets with Jesus, then comes back out the other side. But actually, it's quite a relatively quick process in terms of the actual last bit of, right, that's it, I'm now to make a decision. So it might have taken you a couple of years to get to that stage, but at the last moment when you give your life to Christ and you actually say, do you know what, I actually believe that you died there for my sins. At that very moment in time in Ephesians 1, it says a deposit of the Holy Spirit goes inside you. It's a deposit which guarantees your inheritance, and your inheritance is a relationship with our Father in heaven. So because Skip has given his life to Jesus and he has this Holy Spirit which comes inside him, which is in Ephesians 1, 13, it says, in him you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, a guarantee of your inheritance. Then he has that Holy Spirit in him forever. So when we look at this scripture and it says, you know him for he dwells with you and will be in you, then that's the Holy Spirit that comes in you when you are saved. And that Holy Spirit is with you forever. It dwells inside you forever. And it becomes part of who you are. So part of God exists inside you, every one of us. He is omnipresent. We try and think of God as like a like this sort of shaped person. And that's, he sits on a throne in heaven and that's who he is. But he's not. He's everywhere. He's in a form that we don't really understand and comprehend. And part of that form lives inside us. So we become part of God being inside us. And we become part of God because he is inside us. So let's go back to orphans then. Because when we talk about orphans, and if we talk about people who have been left without parents, then the Bible is quite clear about this. That before you give your life to Christ, we are all like orphans. We are all without a father, a spiritual father in heaven. Now, straight away, our thoughts normally go to, well, hold on, I had a father on earth, or I didn't have a father on earth, or I had a father, but I didn't know who he was, or never ever met him, or something like that. And we can relate it straight to there. But this is talking about our father in heaven. We are spiritual orphans because we do not know and we have no father in heaven. Then when you are saved, that part of that inheritance is having that father in heaven. And that father becomes the person who fathers you. And it's an amazing father. And he talks about adoption. So he doesn't talk about giving birth to you. He talks about adopting you. And which is a fascinating subject, because when you adopt a child, you actually go to meet the child and you see the child and you choose that child. And our father does the same thing. He adopts us because he knows who we are. He's seen us. He actually did make us, but he sees everything about us. And then chooses to be a father over us. And as children, we then have a father in heaven, because this is the father who says, Damien, I love you. Come and be part of my family. You are now a son of mine. That's what he says. He says that. He says, I want you to be. And that's a choice that he makes. He chooses every single one of us here. And we make a choice in that. Yeah, we make a choice to be saved, but that fits within him choosing us. So let me put this down because I'll keep doing that. So here we say, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we, when it says sons, it means sons and daughters, yeah? When we, as sons by whom we cry, well, that's a question, we won't go there. Adoption as sons, it means all you ladies in the room as well are included in sons. By whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. So this whole process of us coming into Christianity isn't about us joining a religion ever. It's never about that. It's not about us even just being saved on the cross. It's actually coming into a family with our Father in heaven, who loves us and has chosen us and wants to be with us. I'm adopting you and I will not turn you away, ever. You will never be an orphan again, ever. Flip it on again. So, and then it says this in John 3:1-2, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. So we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what's absolutely fascinating, I love that one, that's why I put it on this one, although it's saying roughly the same thing. I love the first line of that when it says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. What he's saying is, I don't love you as a follower. I don't love you as someone to serve me. I don't love you as a worshipper. I don't love you for what you do. I love you because you're my son and my daughter. And for that reason, I say to you, I love you. Our adoption by the Father in heaven is all about love. He picks us up and he whispers in our ear time and time again, I love you. I love you. This is what it is. So we become part of this family. So this church is a family, which is why sometimes in titles you hear Family Church Blackpool or whatever. And sometimes you hear that in titles because that's exactly what this is. So this is a family. And you should feel loved and cared for in this because that part of the Spirit inside you acts like the Father's love. Because if the Father shows us how to love through the Spirit inside us, then we know, I know how to love Ben because actually the Father's shown me how to love. So Ben is now, I say, is my brother. He's my brother. And I love as a family. And all you guys in this room, you are Ben's brother. And you are part of this. It becomes family. And it's an amazing sense of the love of God, which is expressed in this direction. Psalm 68 says this. I've not got it on there, don't. So Psalm 68 says this. His Father, our Father in heaven, is the Father of the fatherless. And God settles, I think this is just as important, the solitary inner home. And when it says home, it means in a family, not in a house like we would consider home. It means in a family. That's a home. Because a family, a home could be a tent. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's family. And in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 to 18, it says this, then I will welcome you and I will be a father to you and you shall be my son, you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. These are promises. Guys, these are promises that rest in our heart. And they're not just promises, they are truths. This is who you are now. I am a father to you and you are my sons and daughters and I love you. So let's talk about God the Father then. Because I think this is where we're going to be going with this, how God fathers us and how God loves us. Because for me, this is a key aspect of how the Holy Spirit speaks into us. I love Jen's interpretation of the tongue and what was coming out there about three or four times. I'm not saying you repeat yourself, Jen. I'm saying that was interpretation. No, because actually, when you do that, what that actually that highlights for us is this is the key phrase in this. And the key phrase for Jenny in that was, I give you a new song. She was saying, you have given me a new song, Father. That's what she was her prayer to God. She was saying, you give me a new song. And so when she says that, then you realize, actually, do you know what? You have done that, Father. And that helps you focus on the right bit. So Jen was saying that the Father has given us a new song. Let me ask you, where do you think that new song comes from? And what is that new song? So when someone says, you have given me a new song, So songs in the Bible, Psalms, are like stories. They tell of whole situations and the way what people are going through. That's what Psalms are about. And actually, your song is your life. And actually, interpretation comes through, it says, you've given me a new song. Actually, what she means is, since I've been saved, I've lived a different life. I live a new life, a different life. And this is the song I sing now. And it's a song about you, Jesus. And it's a song about you, Father in heaven. That's the new song. And actually, do you know what? Where does that song come from? It comes from deep inside, and we'll get to that in a minute. So let's go on. Let's have a look. I'm chucking scriptures at you, I know, but they're all about the same thing, so they're quite easy. What's this one? Yeah, you flick on to the next one. So, but to all of you who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood. Oh, sorry, this is one. This is back to the point I've just already said. Not of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So basically, it's saying there you are. You are saved and you become a child of God because of the will of God. And that's why it does it. I just thought to chuck this in here because this for me was so important because I think we just scoot over it unless we're doing the Lord's Prayer or we're doing a preach on prayer. But actually in the Lord's Prayer, what's the very first line of the Lord's Prayer? So the Lord's Prayer is actually the disciples, which is take that from being everyone now, even in existence now, ask Jesus in front of him, Jesus, how should we pray? And what's the very first line he says? Our Father who art in heaven. What he's saying is you relate to him. You pray back to him who you are in him, who he is to you. Our Father in heaven. And he's not saying you don't do those words necessarily, but it might be like. So that's for me, has been ever since I became a Christian, been key in my prayer life is my Father, I just thank you that you are my Father and that you love me. That's been like one of my first bits of all of my prayers. Because Jesus is basically saying, come on, this is not just about a list of of what you want and what you don't want. This is about who God is to you. It's about a relationship between you and the Father and sons and daughters. Right. I just want to play this script, this thing to you. So some of you will have heard this is the Dr. Stockbridge thing off of YouTube. And what I want you to think about is the question that he asks. He makes loads of statements about Jesus, God, but he asks one question. So let's go.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah.
So the one question in there, which is a challenge for me to you guys, is, do you know him? Do you know him? And I think the Dr. Stockbridge, I mean, I think that's a combination of three preachers, the words there, a combination of three preachers, a phenomenal preacher. But what he's asking there is, do you know him in terms of salvation? I'm going to ask another question, because I think most of you in this room will know him in terms of salvation. I'm asking another question. Do you know him as your father? That's my question. Do you know him in the way that a father loves a son? Do you know him in the way that a father loves a daughter? Do you experience that on a daily basis? Do you experience the whispers in your ear of a father who says, I love you? Of a father who's so perfect, who just replaces every poor image you've ever seen on this earth. Maybe even images in your own lives. Maybe images of your own of how you've been parented and how your parents were to you, or weren't if they were non-existent. And our Father is always existent. He's always with you. He's always there for you. He never, ever fails you. He picks you up when you've fallen down. He loves you when you've turned your back on him. He cares about you. This is a Father who loves you in a different way. I'm asking you, do you know him that way? Because if not, we need to get to know him that way. Because it's the Spirit inside us which tells us that. And we're going to get to that. So here's a question for you then. Here's some points then about knowing him. Because part of our problem is this. We know him in our heads. And we've read in the Bible so many times, scriptures like I've read up here, oh, God's my father. Yeah, God's my father, because it says in the Bible. And that's called head knowing of the father. And it's just something that just sits there and you just think, oh, do you know what? I know my father. But actually, do you experience your father? It's totally different. Do you live with your father on a daily basis? That's different to just knowing he's my father. That's what his job is. He's the father. Jesus goes to the cross. That's his job. And the Holy Spirit whizzes around somewhere. You know, we ask those questions. We don't ask those questions sometimes because actually it's set in our heads. I know he's my father. Yeah, of course I do. But it's head and it stays up here and it doesn't move on. I've got this quote from this girl called Nicole, and she says this. She says, I know God loves me. I believe his word, but this comes from knowledge I have gained. I struggle because of being abandoned and rejected, etc., by my own parents. I need to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I just think that was classic. That was just a brilliant. The love that surpasses knowledge. The love that you experience does surpass knowledge. We had a girl who came to us from a Bible college close to us in one of our churches, and she got baptized with us. And she said, I always thought I was a Christian. And I do believe I was a Christian. But what you've shown me is how to have a relationship with the Father in heaven. And now I feel totally different. She's not re-saved, but it's just opened up a new world to her, what's going on in her life. Okay, let me ask you this then. If you don't know, if it's not about knowing him in your head, what about knowing him in your heart? And you know what? You can know God in your heart, but sometimes we can allow the heart to dominate us. So actually, do you know what? When all things are going well in my life and I feel cared for and loved, I know my father loves me. When I'm really struggling, do you know, when I've just been sacked from a job or my car's broken down again and I know it's a write-off now and I can't afford to buy another one, I'm like, God, where are you? You're supposed to provide for my needs. And it's like, I thought you were my father. I thought you cared. Weren't we just woken up with a headache, or we're just in a bad mood because of an argument with our wife about the kids on the way to church? Not that anyone does that, do they? We don't. We never did, did we, Jack? Separate cars. There's the answer, guys. Lord's answer was to provide us with another car. So, where was I? Oh, yeah. So, what I'm saying is the heart can be unreliable at most. That's what I'm going to say to you. So sometimes we just love when we feel like, well, I feel like I'm feeling God, but I come in today and I just don't feel he's there. Father, I don't feel you're there. And you just know what? I can't get into worship. You know, I know Skippy's he's all right, I can tell, you know. But I don't actually feel I can worship because I don't really feel right at that morning. And actually that our heart, can I just say, guys, is unreliable at best. And if your relationship with the Father in heaven relies on how you feel at that point in time because of its circumstances, because how your relationship is going with your wife, whatever, then actually your relationship with the Father is going to go like that all the time, constantly like that. Peaks and troughs. Pits and peaks, we call it, no, we don't. Pits and peaks. Good times and bad times. What are they? And it's like the Father doesn't want that. The Father wants you like this with him. Not like that, like this. You're going on an upward spiral all the time, getting to know him more. Every preach you come in here, it's about the Father, it's about Jesus. Get to know him more, and your relationship grows with him. And it's a change. That's so, so different from your own parents and your own father. That's so different. It's a different world because he comes with perfection, and he comes with a fatherhood which he knows. Every bad thing a father can do in a family, every bad slip up they can make, and he doesn't do any of them. So we don't go back to him and say, why'd you let my car break down, Father? Because actually he knows what's good for us. We live in a fallen world. We understand that. And we know our father still loves us no matter what's going on around us. So it's not in the head. It's not in our heart. So where is it then? It's in that very first scripture, which I've pulled out of here. So let me see if I can find it. It's in that very first scripture that I brought up, where it said, I have to put it up, but I'm going to read it, where it said, next one. Go to the Romans one. That's it. It's this one here where it says, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The way we love the Father, and this is going to sound a bit weird until you get used to understanding what this means, is through our spirit. Our spirit loves the Father. And the Holy Spirit, which comes inside us, gives us the ability and the direction to do that. And it gives us an understanding in our heads, and it gives us a love in our hearts. And it comes from the Holy Spirit residing inside us, which enables us to say, Abba, Father, Father, I love you. Whatever the circumstances, Father, I love you. And the Spirit never lets us down. And our spirit won't if you allow it to listen to inside you, to listen to the Holy Spirit, which is that deposit, which I've already said, sits inside us right from day one. He sits there with us. This Holy Spirit empowerment of us empowers us to love the Father in a way that we don't do with just our heads from just reading things or hearing things, that we don't do with our hearts when we're just like, oh, well, what do I feel like today? But it's actually something different. It's this spirit of adoption. It's this Holy Spirit that sits inside us and says to you, you can love the Father. And this is how he loves you. And he speaks to you. And that's how we hear it. And that's the thing that cements it in us. That it's, Ephesians used the word, it's a guarantee of fatherhood to you. It's a guarantee of his fatherhood to you. Is that Holy Spirit inside you. Not your feelings. Not your head knowledge. Right. There's this song that Bethel Brook produced, which actually I quite like, because people, can we just click onto the Bethel bit? That's the first bit. That's it. It's a, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. And do you know what that is? Do you know it's true? And it's theologically true. He is a good, good father. And that is who he is. He is God Almighty as well. But he is a good, good father to us. And then afterwards, they do this fantastic thing where they say, and the next bit, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Do you know what? It is who we are. We are created to be loved by our Father in heaven. We are created to have that interlocking relationship with my father and daughter, which runs in the perfect, which runs in an amazing way as he speaks deeply into our hearts. It's who we are. We are made to love the Father as a father. That's who we are. We are the fatherless who have been adopted by the Father as he becomes father to the fatherless. And we are those, we were those fatherless, and now we're brought in. Our identity then becomes sons and daughters of him. Just phenomenal. Just fantastic. Okay, let me just, and you know what? I just came across this bit because I just thought, do you know what? So how did Jesus do this? And I think that there's a bit in Psalms where it talks about deep talk, talking to deep. And it's about when David is in serious problems. And what God says is that God's spirit speaks deep into you. The deep of God speaks to the deep of you. The spirit of God speaks to the spirit of you. Deep speaks to deep, which is why that turtle, deep to deep at the start. And that's that. This is Psalm 42:7. It says deep calls to deep. And you know what happens there is that it's when it's in a difficult situation, when you are in a difficult situation and you're like, I need my father. I need my father. And actually then he speaks to you. He speaks to you lots of other times as well, but he comes and speaks to you, and deep will speak to your spirit. And if you know your theology, if you know it, like, and what is that? What do I mean by that? Where it says that the Father will love you in all circumstances. He wants the best for you. If you know that. Not highfalutin theology, but what does it say in Scripture? What are the promises there? If you know that, if you know that, then that can actually give peace to you. Yeah, do you know what? I've just lost my job, but I'm sure God might have something better for me around the corner, and I'm going to keep trying. As God's representative here, I will do my best in my next job. things like that. So, and then Jesus, right in Mark 14:36, what was one of the most difficult moments in Jesus' on earth life is when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knows that in a few days he's going to go into the cross, and he says, "Father, take this cup from me." And it says, "And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not by my will. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And Jesus goes straight back to, "Do you know what? You're my Father. You love me. So if your will is whatever it is, I go through." When he means cup, he means going to the cross. If your will is go to the cross, then Abba, Father, I love you, my Father. I will do it for you. So he goes through the most difficult point of everything, going to the cross, and he just says, "Abba, Father, I'll do it. Oh. What is the Father's love like? It's what I brought last time. Last preach, I think it was. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. He is patient with you when you fall over, when you go wrong. His patience doesn't wear thin. He's kind. He's not like, "Skip, you messed up again. Sort yourself out or you're out." He doesn't do that. He's actually, "Skip, I can see what's gone wrong. Let's go through this together. Let's work this out together. I'm going to help you through this." He's a kind God. He doesn't cast you out because of things like that. He doesn't insist on having things his own way. He doesn't, actually. So what he says to you is, "This is a good way for you to live, guys, but you can choose." What it says in Paul is, everything is possible, but not everything is beneficial. So he's actually, the grace of God is that you can choose to do whatever you want in your life. But actually what he's saying is, "I know a way that's good for you. So try this, do this." He's not saying, "I insist on it." he's not resentful. Love bears all things. You know, when you turn your back on him, when you're like, "God, I hate you now." And he's like, actually, he endures that. In his love for you, he will endure that and still love you. When you've like lost it with God and you're like, and turning around and stomping out like you're a toddler. And he's like, no, yeah, you're my toddler. And I love you. Even going through this, I still love you. I still love you. He endures all things with us, and his love never ends. It's never going to end for us, guys. You cannot lose your salvation, ever. So I just want to just talk very briefly. Oh, thank you very much. Very briefly about. Thanks, Simon. That's very kind of you. I'll talk very briefly about sort of things that can hinder us in terms of our understanding of the Holy Spirit inside us when it calls Abba Father, it tells us, and about us, about how we have a relationship with the Father and what can hinder us in us recognizing the Father. So already I've talked about it can be like in our heads, you know, it can be like a head knowledge, and that's, you know, I've already talked about that, but I just want one more quote in that, because a church leader came to me the other day and he said, "Do you know what? I feel like a good soldier, but not necessarily a good son." And my response was, "Do you know what? You're always a good son, because he always loves you. But if you mean that you can focus a bit more on the father, on the father-son relationship you've got with your father, then do it, and the Father will love it. But you're always a good son to him. He always loves you. He'll always love you." Secondly, it's that I did this feeling thing where, you know, I said, "Are you feeling it in your hearts?" And there's a thing that Beth will talk about. They use this phrase, orphan spirit. So what they would say is that, and I think they're just, I don't know what they're saying. I'm just saying the way I interpret that is quite often an orphan spirit can be like, you're a Christian, but you don't really know the love of God. And you're living like, "I'm an orphan in a family. I'm not really truly adopted. I'm not truly loved. And that adoption hasn't happened." And so you live like that constantly. And what that actually means is that as a Christian, you're hobbling along. It's like you've got a stone in your shoe and you can't, you just can't. Number three, sin, current and historic. So you might be living in sin at the moment. And if you are, sort it out with the Father. If it's historic, sometimes those things hold over you. And you need to understand what it says in the Bible, that actually it gets wiped clean. Our Father forgives you. And if you've been and repented to in front of the Father, that's gone. Don't let it drag you down. Lies of the enemy will follow you and chase you and say, yeah, but the Father doesn't really forgive you. Because that was really bad, wasn't it? Seriously, that was bad. And if all these people in this room knew how bad that was, they wouldn't be your friends anymore. And that's lies of the enemy. That is absolute lies of the enemy. He loves you and he forgives. He has forgiven you. That's the way our Father is. I said, our Father is perfect. Next one. Lies that have been spoken over you. Oh, my word. Lies that have been spoken over to you. Sometimes with prayers, sometimes in prophecies. I've had them over me all the time. All the time. Sometimes. I had a prophecy once that I'll never be a leader. I'll never prophesy. I'll never be a leader up front and I'll never prophesy. And I'm like, that. And that affected me for a long time. And even now I remember it. And this is like 20 years ago. And so some of the things that people have said over you, and it might be things your parents have said over you, you will never amount to anything. You're just not as intelligent as your sister. Your manners are terrible and you are just going to grow up as a nothing. And things like that sit inside you. And when they're said time and time again, you live with them. And you live with them today. And when it comes to the Father in heaven and you're standing in front of him and all you've got in your mind is, I know what my previous father said. I know what my other father said to me. I know how he spoke to me. Is he going to do the same? And it just sits with between you and God because you can't. You're just thinking, the only time I've ever had a father and this is what he did to me. The only time I had a father, and do you know what? My mum only saw him for about a month after I was born. So basically, he left my mum because I came along. So he didn't like me. And all of a sudden, you take that to this father and you're like, Father, if I love you, if I give everything to you, if I open up like Rob's been saying today about in a spirit saying I love you. If I do that, are you going to walk away when you see me? Are you going to, when you see in that opening up, when you see right inside, are you going to walk away? And then actually that's where you think your father's going to go. Here's another one. And I'm going to finish this one. This is the last one I'm going to bring. There are lots of other reasons, guys. And you might be sitting there thinking, this is what affects me and my father. Then that's real. Just because I'm not brought up here, doesn't mean it's not real. This last one, I'm gonna say this one because I think this is massively important for almost everybody in this room. Because I think all of us probably have asked this question at some point in our lives, and that is, Father, why do you love me? And we ask that question, Father, why do you love me? And if we know what's in the Bible, it's just the wrong question to ask. Because he doesn't look at you and then think, Damien, this is why I love you. He doesn't do that. He sees you in his son. And so he loves you with what Christ has done with you and who you are and who he's brought Christ to you. And he loves every part of you. So he loves you right to the very root and to the very core. So what you're doing when you say, why do you love me? You're usually looking at the things you've done wrong and saying, how can you love this? How can you actually love? You don't really love me, do you? It just says that in the Bible. And you don't actually, well, you do with the other people, but you don't actually do it with me because I don't actually feel it. When I'm on my own, I don't feel you're around at all. The only time I actually feel with you is when you're there on Sunday morning. And these things go through your head. And actually, it's not about the things inside you because he loves you point blank. And you could do the worst crime today known to mankind. And if you are still a Christian, he will. If you are a follower of Christ, in that sense, he will still love you. Because your salvation is forever. It endures forever. Love endures forever. And that's what he's saying here. He loves you. Sorry? If you haven't asked for forgiveness, you are still saved. And he will still love you. But that's what he wants. So I'm not making, it's not a category. It's not a, if you haven't asked for forgiveness. So if you did something wrong, right, and then you just step over the road and a bus hits you and you haven't asked for forgiveness and then you lose your salvation. It doesn't work that way. Once you've given your life to Christ, his death on the cross forgives every sin. It's powerful enough for every sin, even if you haven't. But what the Bible says, it's good to go back for your relationship with the Father, mostly about us, not about him. It's about us to say, I'm sorry I did that, because that helps us with our relationship with the Father. So that's why we do it. But it's not, your salvation isn't dependent on it. Good question, Simon. Good question. Okay, then. So just let me just finish then on this. When the heads argued, they can't possibly love you. When your heart is feeling like you're not loved, the spirit then starts to sing. I've got this on here. The spirit starts to sing. So I just love that interpretation. The spirit starts to sing. Abba, Father, I love you. And that's our calling. Our calling is to love the Father, because he's a good, good God. He's a good, good Father. And we love him. And he loves you more than you could dream. He loves you more than anything. And he's there for you. So let's, if you want to stand. Do you want this? Father, I believe you've shown us something this morning, which is, and I know I've approached it in a lot about how our attitude towards you, Father, but actually I think what you've done is you said you love us. You said, I am your Father to every one of us in this room, and you've told us how your love is for us. And Father, we hear that. We hear that. And so when we know that Christ died on the cross for us, and he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. And he came inside us and he gave us that ability to say, Abba, Father, that spirit that says, Abba, Father. And it all connected to this whole thing about not being an orphan ever again. But you are in heaven, receiving us, adopting us, and saying, I love you. I've seen what you've done. I've seen everything that you could have possibly done in your life. I've seen all of those things. I've seen my son go to the cross for those sins. And I'm forgetting, choosing to forget. I'm pushing them aside and saying, I love you. I love you. No matter what your life is like, no matter what you're involved in at the moment, I love you. And Father, we hear that. And we hear the way that your spirit says inside us and encourages us. It just prompts us with our spirit. Go on, tell him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you care about him. Respond to the Father's love and see his eyes light up. Just respond. Just start treating him like a father in heaven, not as a gift giver. Not necessarily as the sovereign controller of the universe, the one who's all powerful, but as your Father in heaven. I just feel God would say that to us today. Start speaking to him like our Father in heaven. We're going to sing a song in a second. And afterwards, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say to you guys, just raise your hand if you want prayer this morning. And what I'm going to ask you to raise your hand for prayer for, not anything about you doing anything bad whatsoever. It's not about that. This is about if you just want to get to know God as your Father more. If you want to, in answer to the Dr. Stockbridge question, know him as a Father much more. That's what I'm going to ask you. So let's sing first.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.